The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
I identify myself as a Bible-believing, unashamed follower of Jesus Christ. I believe the Bible, I follow Jesus, and I'm not ashamed to say so. The answer is not in the next election. The answer is not in Washington, D.C. The answer to America's problems is in the pulpit and the pews of America's churches. That's what we do here daily on Bob Burney Live. We listen, we think, and then we look at the Word of God, evaluate it, and develop our worldview from God's point of view.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the participants and may not be the views or opinions of the staff, management, or advertisers of WRFD.
Isn't it strange how that you take two pieces of material, you can take wood, you can take plastic, you can take anything, and you can put them in any configuration until you put them perpendicular to each other and make a cross? The Word of God. Read it. Obey it. That is the answer to America's problems.
Call 1-877-BOB-LIVE. Bob Burney Live.
Welcome to Bob Burney Live on this Monday afternoon. Thank you for joining me. My telephone number is 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483. Hope you had a good weekend. Hope you were involved in church, whether it was online, at home, drive-in, in person. I hope you were in church one way or another this past weekend. One of the most disturbing stories I saw last week was that one-third of people who normally would attend church are not attending church in any way, shape, or form during this whole COVID-19 thing. One-third. We're talking about people who are involved in church. No online, no drive-in, no in-person. Nope. One-third. Don't be part of that statistic, folks. You need, I need, we need to be fed. And we need to pray that we will be able to open our churches completely as soon as possible. God created us with the need for fellowship. We need that. And online doesn't take care of that need. It does, and I've said this for years and years and years, there is no such thing as an online church. You can listen to church online, and sometimes that's essential. And for some people that are homebound, that can't get out, it is the only church they can receive. That's great. That's wonderful. But there is no such thing as an online church. No such thing as an internet church. Doesn't exist biblically. So anyway, I hope you were involved in one way or another this past weekend. Well, let's get to the news of the day. And I guess none of us should be shocked. The very first speaker that has been rumored to be a part of the Democratic National Convention next month is, you ready for this? John Kasich. Yeah, now it has not been confirmed, but multiple news sources are reporting this. The story that I'm looking at is from USA Today, today, and here is the headline. John Kasich expected to speak at Democratic National Convention for Joe Biden. Here it is. Former Republican Ohio Governor John Kasich, an outspoken critic of President Donald Trump, is expected to speak on behalf of presumptive Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden at next month's Democratic National Convention, the Associated Press reported on Monday. Yep. Now, the Kasich folks are declining to comment. I think that tells us a great deal. If it were not true, the Kasich people would obviously say, are you kidding? He's a Republican. He's not going to speak at the Democratic National Convention. They are refusing to comment at all. The Democratic National Convention or Committee will neither confirm nor deny. So, I mean, this could be a worthless rumor, but it seems to have credence. The Associated Press cited a person with direct knowledge who insisted on anonymity. Confirmed, John Kasich will be speaking not just at the National Convention, Democratic National Convention, but he is speaking to support Joe Biden. I don't know in my lifetime if I have ever seen the absolute transformation of a politician such as what happened to John Kasich. Now, hey, listen, we're not best buddies. We don't golf often, but I know him, interviewed him on several occasions. When he was elected to the second term as governor here in Ohio, I was the first person invited personally by John Kasich to interview him after he was reelected to his second term. Now, that doesn't make me special or anything. It just, you know, and I've been interviewing him for years, way back when I was doing the Saturday programs and he was in the House of Representatives. I got acquainted with him. And here is my theory. All right. It is my theory alone. And I want you to know that this is just my thoughts. The whole social justice thing has destroyed John Kasich. When he was in the House of Representatives as a Republican, he was a strong, strong conservative. He was a conservative fiscally. I don't know whether he was a conservative physically, but fiscally, he was a strong, strong conservative. And his religious feelings, he was very guarded. It was either the first or the second time that I interviewed him when he was in the House of Representatives. I had heard that he had made a confession of faith in Christ, and I asked him about it. He grew quite angry with me, and he said, my religious feelings are personal. I don't desire to discuss them. And I said, well, but Congressman Kasich, you know, your religious feelings influence your policies and so forth. And he cut off the interview and said, I will not discuss my religion. That's personal and private. So, okay. Then I watched through the years, and he got involved with the Anglican Church. Now, not the Episcopal, the breakaway Anglican, a little more conservative than the Episcopal, but not necessarily conservative. And, well, then some personal private things that I won't get into about his personal religious life. And then he decided to run for governor. And he wrote a book about his religious feelings. Now, this is the guy who got angry at me and ended an interview because he said, I'm not going to discuss my religious feelings. Then he writes a book. Well, after he wrote the book, I asked him, Mr. Kasich, you know, one time you and I were talking, you got a little upset with me because I asked you about your religious feelings, your spirituality. And he said, well, you know, things have changed. And he was running for governor, and he needed that. Well, he needed people to know that he was now religious. I watched him become influenced by the social justice movement, like Jim Wallace and the Sojourners. And I watched, now again, this is my personal theory on this. I believe with all my heart, it was the whole social justice nonsense that absolutely destroyed John Kasich. Destroyed him. By the time he left office after his second term, he was not recognizable. I mean, he wasn't. He was not recognizable at all. He had changed so dramatically. For a long time, he was on Fox, as you know. In fact, he had his own program called, what, I think, Heartland with John Kasich. And he kept drifting farther and farther and farther to the left. And in the social justice issues, and it wasn't long before he left Fox, and then he ran for president. And that was a flaming disaster. What a disaster his presidential run was. And then he totally humiliated himself and the entire state of Ohio when he pleaded with the Republicans to come to Ohio. Pleaded with the Republicans, have the Republican National Convention here in Ohio. They did. And then he refused to come to his own convention. He wouldn't even show up. You remember that? What a foolish, childish thing for him to do. But by then, he had become totally, again, my personal opinion, totally destroyed by the whole social justice ideology. And now he's gone over to the dark side, and he's with CNN. And he has now transitioned completely to the far left. And if these reports are true, he's going to endorse a pro-abortion candidate. This is a man who ran on a pro-life platform here in the state of Ohio. What an unbelievable political tragedy.
Bob Burney Live. Looking at today's news through a biblical worldview.
I saw this story all over Facebook for the last couple of days. And to be absolutely honest, I totally ignored it. Because I thought, it can't be true. It's one of those internet hoaxes. And I see them almost every day. Almost every day, I see one of my Facebook friends posting something that is bogus. And often it's pretty obvious that it's bogus, and yet people continue to post them. So anyway, I didn't even pay any attention to it. I thought, it's got to be bogus. About an hour ago, I came across the story again. And I thought, you know, maybe there's something to this. Maybe I better check it out. And it's true. A Kentucky family. What in the world is going on down in Kentucky? Folks, the liberal left destroys everything it touches. Some of the most egregious overreaches of government concerning this whole COVID-19 thing have occurred in Kentucky, a state that used to be so conservative that has now drifted far to the left. And here is the headline. Kentucky family under house arrest after testing positive for COVID-19. A married couple in Kentucky must wear ankle monitors and cannot leave their house after the wife, Elizabeth Linscott, tested positive for the coronavirus and, quote, refused to sign papers promising to self-quarantine. Now, again, I saw the headlines over and over again. No. They're not going to put an ankle bracelet on anybody just because they wouldn't promise to self-quarantine. Oh, it's true. Here's what happened. The Linscott family, Elizabeth, who is the wife, planned to visit her parents in Michigan. So, because she didn't want to negatively impact her parents, who are in the high-risk category, she went and had a COVID-19 test taken just to be sure. She was not showing any symptoms whatsoever. Didn't feel sick, had no fever, no symptoms whatsoever. She was positive. She said, my grandparents wanted to see me too. So just to make sure, if I tested negative, they would be okay and that everything would be fine. But if I tested positive, I just wouldn't go. Well, she had already determined if she tested positive, she wouldn't go. Well, after she tested positive, the Hardin County Health Department contacted her and said that she needed to sign documents agreeing that she would self-quarantine and limit her travel. Elizabeth Linscott said, I don't think I should be forced to sign documents. And so she responded and said, hey, I'm not going anywhere, but I don't think I need to sign the documents. Well, the health department said, oh, yes, no, you need to sign the documents. She responded to the health department and said, I said, I'm not going anywhere. I give you my word, but I'm not signing the documents. Quote, I open up the door and there's like 8 different people, 5 different cars from the police and the health department. 8 people, 5 police cars. She says, I'm like, what in the world is going on? This guy's in a suit with a mask. It's the health department guy, and he has 3 papers for us. For me, my daughter, my husband, and they slapped ankle bracelets on the whole family because they initially refused to sign documents to self-quarantine. Ankle bracelets. Now, folks, that's what they do in Russia. That's what they do in China. We don't do that in the United States. Unless you're in a state controlled by the liberal left and in a county controlled by the liberal left. It wasn't a hoax at all. It was just a horrible tragedy.